What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Dress Down. Today, we have a very special guest. You may recognize her from her hit song, Shy Guy, or from her comedy skits, Twitch streams, or fashion and nerdy content, Xtina GG.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
How have you been since MagicCon?
I have been pretty good, pretty tired.
Yeah.
You know, I have a new manager who you know.
Yeah.
Of course. And
he's working on your behalf.
No, he's working on my behalf. And it is so freaking great. But it is also just like a lot more work because he'll be like, oh, like do a shoot this day. Oh, I planned like a full day shoot. You know, as you know, you were at the
I was going to say, the last time I saw you, we were jumping on a car together.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The upcoming song, Girls in a Car. You know, did the whole day shoot for that. And then there was like another shoot. He was like, oh, I got a shoot with Tala and this kind of thing. So definitely been staying busy with that. And just gaming, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm getting into World of Warcraft, which is a questionable decision, according to some people. But
it is for your time, but I'm biased. I love World of Warcraft.
So oh, really?
I think that you should for your soul.
Yeah. You know? No, I'm really excited to get into it because I played an MMO growing up. Wizard 101. That was one of them. I think just the kid MMO. But also I played Jade Dynasty, which is a Chinese MMO, and it was free to play, but you can, you know, buy cosmetics and stuff like that. And I think they shut that MMO down, but I've always had like the vague inkling or curiosity about getting into World of Warcraft, but I think I just didn't want to pay for it as a kid. And now that I'm fun employed, I'm like, maybe I have time for this.
Yeah. What faction are you going to play? Horde or Alliance?
I actually am not sure which one I am right now. It's because I think I'm a night elf? I don't know. There were so many types of elves. There were like the blood elves, the night elves. There were too many types of elves to the point that I don't remember which type of elf I chose.
Okay. It doesn't matter, truly.
But I'm a druid.
Just to me, specifically.
Yeah. Oh, are you very specific about like Horde or Alliance is better?
I am, but kind of as a bit.
Oh, okay. I'll try to guess. You strike me as a Horde girly.
I am a Horde girly.
Okay, yes.
I'm in red, too.
I
feel
like
this is the blood of my enemies color.
Yeah, yeah. Red is a great color, powerful color.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. You're a druid, you said?
Yes, a druid.
Are you a tank druid or a DPS druid? Or a healer druid?
Well, I was looking to be a tank druid because I was like, okay, you know, I was Googling, you know, what's the best I guess like druid specialization to solo play. And they were saying that like tank was a really good option. But then when I was fighting, I was like, wait, I really love how much damage the little cat form is doing. And so I don't know. I need to change my specialization, I think, to DPS because I think I'm enjoying DPS more. Yeah.
That's fine. You do whatever your heart desires. Because I did the same thing with a paladin. I was like, I'm going to tank. Because everyone needs a tank.
Yes. And I was thinking that too.
But what if?
But it feels so good to do so much damage.
It really does.
It
feels like good in your soul.
It does. Yeah. To see the number be bigger, it's like, yes, I'm doing more. This is good.
Number big, me happy.
Number big, me happy. Yeah. Do you still play World of Warcraft?
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of love for it because
that's real.
How I spent most of my time in high school.
Oh, that's so nice.
And college.
Yeah.
I actually got in trouble because in college, I was patching my Battle.net launcher.
Yeah.
And they thought that I was pirating movies because it was a like P2P client.
No way.
So I got a letter.
Oh my gosh.
Like, stop pirating movies. And I was like, guys, I just want to do my dungeons.
Right. Like this is purely legal. Like nothing bad is happening here.
Well, that's awesome. I love the resurgence of WoW.
Yeah.
It was actually in our day and age.
What kind of inspired me. Well, I was already thinking about getting into WoW just because I was like, man, I really miss playing an MMO. I think just the childhood nostalgia of it. And then, like, I don't know. I made one friend that was into WoW, and but not currently, but they were like previously into WoW, and I was like, oh yeah, what if I got into WoW? And then a couple other friends that I met on the Girls in a Car shoot, mm-hmm. where, you know, they play WoW, and I was like, this is my sign. Mm-hmm. This is my sign and my time to get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. There's mm-hmm. never a bad time to get into World of Warcraft. There's always never a bad time to get into League of Legends.
Right.
It could be worse.
Yes. No, totally.
You could
yeah.
be playing League.
Literally. I played League for a couple years mm-hmm. in middle school, and I don't know that I would get back into that.
Yeah. Same. I play an ARAM every now and then to scratch an itch, oh, but I can't.
What is an ARAM?
ARAM? It's a game type. Instead of doing the 5v5 on the big Summoner's Rift oh, yeah. map, it's a one lane, all oh. random, all mid.
Oh, okay.
It's like 20 minutes-ish.
Oh. Yeah, just to scratch the itch.
It's just a ton of yeah. fighting. It's just yeah. one team fight for like 20 minutes.
Just one team fight, one lane. Just. Yeah. Okay, that sounds kind of fun.
And you can't recall, so you can't go back and buy stuff.
Oh.
Unless you die. So you're just like running, fighting, dying.
Okay, that's kind of fun.
Over yeah. and over again.
Yeah.
And you can't choose who you are. That's the
oh,
fun of it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. So it really is like random. Like you can't be that sweaty about it, mm-hmm. you know,
yes.
because it is randomized. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. That's good. Well, I would love to talk about your music and how you got started in everything. You did content, comedy content, fashion content, and nerdy content. Did music come before all of that, or did it stem from doing all of that?
I guess like music happened. When did music happen on that timeline? I think music technically started before I really got into content, but it was very casual.
Like it was always there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it was that I played violin growing up. That was my musical experience mm-hmm. as a kid. And then it wasn't until I think 2021 that I decided I was going to like sing and songwrite. Like I was not a singer. I am not a trained singer at all, embarrassingly, but I'm trying to get better. And
you could have fooled me.
Well, thank you. but I was dating this guy, and as many great stories start.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a music producer, a okay. musician. And I was just getting exposure to a lot of different musicians and like seeing how they made music in their bedroom. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool that they can make something that sounds like so professional at home. Mm-hmm. And then he cheated on me. And then I was so sad and distraught that I found a producer on Craigslist. And I was like, I'm going to make a diss track on you and I'm going to release it. And that's exactly what I did.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And, that's incredible.
And it was great. I mean, like a lot of my friends were like, wow, this is your first song. Like this is like really good for your first song.
And wait, so
like,
you found a producer on Craigslist?
Yes. Yeah. I was, and I paid like, I think $1,000 for him to produce the song, which was definitely like a lot of money. At the time,
yeah.
It is a lot of money, but I was just like so hellbent on
it. It was worth
it. I was like, I need to
do this.
Driven
by revenge.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. And then making that song was so fun that I just kept doing it after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thankfully now work with producers for a royalty split rather than like paying up front. So mm-hmm. not paying $1,000 per song. Don't have that type of money to be shelling out.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and then I think, like, at some point, music got more serious, and I started doing content. Like, I, you know, was doing the fashion stuff, and then I started working at Polygon and doing, like, their gaming TikTok stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm mostly focused on music with a bit of gaming content on the side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that song streaming?
Yes.
It is?
Yeah, you can listen to it today, any day. I don't think I'll ever take it down.
I think you should keep it forever.
Yeah, yeah. I know some people like to take down their back catalog because they feel like, you know, it's not representative of who they are as an artist now, or they're like, oh, that song isn't that good. Or like sometimes certain artists want to seem new, even though they've been around for a long time. They want to seem as if like, oh, this is, you know, my first song ever. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of like trick some people in that way and being like, oh my God, they're having this huge debut. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, yeah, I want it online forever. It's called Stupid Fucking Boy.
Stupid Fucking Boy.
Very on the nose.
Wow.
But yeah, it's out there.
That's incredible.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, yeah. I would have it no other way.
I agree. My roommate Amanda, that you know.
Yeah.
That's how she got her computer science degree.
Huh?
Is because she was dating a boy, a stupid fucking boy, yeah. who told her that she was too dumb.
No
to
way.
Switch her major to computer science.
The audacity. So she was crazy.
Like, bet.
She was like, she bet you did. You think I won't?
Yeah. Oh.
I will not only switch my major, but I will complete that degree.
I will complete that degree and that work in that field. And that's what she did.
That is so crazy. Does she enjoy computer science?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great. I didn't know if she did it like purely out of spite.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that would be so legendary too. To be like, I hate this, but I will prove to you that I can do this.
Right.
Just because I can.
Yeah. And but, spite can be an incredible motivator.
No, literally. It's so funny. One of the funniest things, I mean, it was hurtful at the time, but one of the funniest things in hindsight that guy ever said to me was something like, it was like, I respect you, but I don't respect your career because I think if I were you, I would be doing it better.
What?
Because like I was making some gaming content at the time or like something. And he was just like, oh, yeah, I think, like, if I were you, I would have blown up by now and I'd be doing it better. So he's like, I respect you. I just don't respect your work. I respect you, babe.
Is that the tone he was using as well?
Yeah, he was drunk. And then I just immediately started crying.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And he was like, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. But I just think it's so funny.
Right.
When people, like, say something, like, so demeaning, like,
yeah,
like, oh, you're too dumb to do this, oh, you're, I don't respect your work.
And they say it like it's not hurtful and a terrible thing to say,
like it's just casual conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of like, hey, like, it's sunny out,
like, what do you want to eat for dinner?
Yeah, like, just randomly, yeah, bringing it up.
I just don't respect your career at all.
Yeah.
I could be doing it so much better than you. Anyway.
Yeah, no. It's,
wow.
I mean, yeah. I think it's funny in hindsight because I think, like, statements like that usually do come from a place of insecurity.
Absolutely,
with,
yeah,
people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Man, I love that for Amanda, though.
Yeah, I love that for both of you guys. That's yeah. incredible. Good for you.
Yay.
And look what you've done.
Right. Yeah.
That's so sick.
Seriously.
So that was your first song. When did Shy Guy come about? Because that, would you say that that's your biggest song?
Yes. Yeah, definitely my biggest song. Hope to surpass it one day.
I feel like that's coming.
I think so. I think with this new manager, you know, the producer and songwriter I've been working with, I think we're cooking up some great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was the biggest song and it was released in, I think, February 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So a while ago. But I was working with this producer, Lucas Sim, also known as Lexim, and fantastic producer. We were making some songs together. And I remember, yeah, just pitching that song idea of like, oh, what if we wrote a song about liking shy little anxious guys? And that was the whole pitch,
mm-hmm.
Essentially. And yeah, just really like from the first video, it really just did well. Like, I think the first video I posted on TikTok and Instagram got 1 or 2 million views, like,
wow.
Depending on the platform. And then, like, every video I posted with it did well. And I was like, wow, people really like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It's relatable, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally.
Was it inspired by Mario Shy Guy? Or was that just, like, a double entendre?
Just a double entendre. I like the little shy guys in Mario. I think they're really cute.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely, you know, pick those guys here and there when I'm playing Mario Kart or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just a little double entendre.
What's your Mario Party, Mario Kart main?
Ooh, Mario Party, I feel like Spike. Yeah, the little green guy. Mm-hmm. I think he's funny looking. I love funny little tiny guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think they're so
funny. I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yes, yeah. And I love it when they're like a tiny bit ugly.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And Mario Kart, I think, not quite choosing this character because of like visual preference, but I think I read online that it was like a meta character to play with a certain bike, Waluigi. Just simply chose him because it was like, oh, Waluigi with the, I forget which little bike, but they were like, this is a really good character to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I want to win.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Also, you can play into the meme.
The meme?
The meme. Well, I guess that's Luigi. But I feel like Waluigi is a villain and Hebe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, play into the meme of just being like, I'm Waluigi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I beat you. Mm-hmm. He is pretty
rubbing
funny.
In people's faces and stuff.
There's some game, I forget which Mario game it is, but like where Waluigi, I can't do it because I'm in a dress right now, but where Waluigi does like the crotch slap thing.
He does?
Whenever he wins, where he goes like.
I can't fully do it, but I can picture it.
Very boisterous.
I can picture it. I can picture it. Yeah, I imagine Waluigi is like a sweaty Xbox Live kid.
Oh, that is a great comparison.
Like teabagging opponents.
No, literally. Yeah.
Like eating with his hands, Cheeto dust everywhere.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, he's got a lot of Uber Eats bags next to his gaming setup.
Mm-hmm.
Weeks old.
Yep. Yeah. In like tower format.
Yes.
Against the wall.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you have some new songs coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And Good Night also is Good Night is out, right?
Yes. Good Night is out and she is thriving. And that's been really fun. I, you know, promoted that song a lot at MagicCon.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it felt like a happy coincidence that we were like, oh, we're going to release this song May 1st. And, you know, Good Night, fantasy theme. There's a lot of, you know, fantasy theme of like Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess also like there was a really nice lineup with Renfair being, mm-hmm. you know, at the same time roughly. So, yeah, that was fun to release. And then a lot of upcoming songs and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Like Girls in the Car.
Girls in a Car. Yes, exactly. We just did the shoot for that. And I am going to be doing a music video shoot this upcoming Tuesday. We're going to be going out to Soggy Dry Lake. Mm-hmm. Just going to be shooting in a car.
In a car.
With some girls. And it's going to be a good time. But yeah, got a lot of content and shots lined up for that. And I'm really excited to see how that goes. And I'm excited to show the song to my roommates because they inspired the song.
Oh, yeah?
And yes. And in the song, I shout them out. There's a line where I'm like, how does it go? Threw another date away. I don't want to waste a day. I'd rather see a pretty face like Fiona and Alicia. And those are my roommates' names. And I haven't shown them the song yet.
I was going to say, so they don't know that they're in it?
Yeah, they don't know that they're in it. I'm excited to show them that.
When are you going to do that?
Maybe tonight.
Okay.
Maybe
I was
tonight.
Gonna say, because I think this comes out on Friday.
I know it comes. Actually, we ended up moving the release date. So going to actually be, I think, June 5th, something. I don't know. We haven't fully decided it. We're still finishing a couple parts of the song, but mm-hmm. it's like almost there. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to show it tonight because we have a little dinner tonight.
Cute.
And it's Fiona's birthday on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we'll all be dressed up nice tonight. And I could be like, hey, guys, I have something to show you.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
You think they're going to be stoked?
I think so. I think they will be because they're definitely, you know, big supporters of my music and always excited to hear new songs. I think the only thing that I hope is that, like, I hope they can hear it well enough. Like, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but, like, sometimes, like, you don't really register lyrics fully when you're listening to music.
Totally.
And so I think it would be super sad if, like, I'm playing the song and it gets to that part and they're still just like,
and just straight faced. Didn't hear it.
Yeah. But we'll see.
I believe that they'll be able to hear it.
I'm going to ask them if I can record their reactions to the song. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I'll have a video to show you how it goes.
Please.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Let me know what their reactions are.
Yeah. Yeah,
tomorrow.
Hopefully I'll be posting it too at some point.
So what is your normal songwriting process?
Yeah.
How do you come up with all of the inspiration for all these songs?
I mean, for Girls in a Car, it comes from a lot of different places. For Girls in a Car, it came from Fiona, who has a playlist called Girls in a Car. And she added my song Miffy to it because she was like, this song just feels like, you know, when you're girls in a car, when you got your girls in a car and you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I just brought that idea into a session one day. I usually have a list of words or ideas whenever I think of something. I put it down in my notes app so that way I can go into sessions and have ideas. Because usually I write music with a producer and maybe one other songwriter. And as of late, it's been solidly like one producer and one songwriter exactly because we've been working on a mixtape together.
Nice.
But yeah, I guess like inspiration sometimes comes from a word that I think sounds cool or just a phrase that resonates with me, something like that. It can come from something thematic, like I guess I love using fantasy as a reference point for songs sometimes. And other times, I guess, with songwriting, we do melody passes where, you know, we'll have a beat and then we just hum over it and sing over it, you know, any kind of gibberish. So, like, no actual words, but we're going like, da-da-da, ba-da-da-da, like, whatever feels right over the beat. And we're like, oh, okay, we like that melody. Let's figure out what those words are. And from there, it's just like, ooh, it sounds like I'm trying to say this word, and you're like, okay, maybe that word would sound really good here. Is there a concept we can write to with that word?
Gotcha.
Or other times it's like, okay, we have this vocal melody now, and we have this word. How and where can we fit that word into it? Like with another one of my songs, Suffocate, I remember when I came up with the melody top line for that, I was hearing a three-syllable S word. And so I just Googled three-syllable S words. And I was just writing a bunch down. I was like, the hook is definitely a three-syllable S word, but I don't know what it is. And then I came across the word suffocate. And I was like, I really like that. What could that be about? And I was thinking, just a guy I had hooked up with recently. And I was like, yeah, this is a song about receiving head. But I was like, okay, like a metaphor, like suffocate, like sirens, I guess. Cause the whole thing is like the whole song is a big metaphor for sirens, but also like suffocating someone when they go down on you. So that's like and that was the whole thing. And then it came together that way.
Yeah. It's so interesting because that's a world that I don't know anything about, but I do feel adjacent to it with cosplays. There's like a creative element.
Yeah.
Where you know something should go somewhere, but you don't know what it is.
Oh, really?
Especially if you're kind of doing your own original character.
Oh, okay. Where you're like, oh, I need something like maybe on my shoulders, or like this costume is missing something here, but what is it? And trying to fill in the gap there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get what you're saying for sure.
I've never, I've done an original cosplay once, but I feel like it was very, I don't know, it was very simple. It was just like a fawn costume, and I just made like the furry pants for it and some paper mache horns. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't too much design there.
And it doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
It's just about how fun it is.
Yeah. But I can imagine it gets a lot more complicated, I guess. Have you designed many like original characters?
A few, yeah.
Ooh.
I liked, in the very beginning when I started cosplaying, I liked a lot of male character designs more. Mm-hmm. And that's usually who I would play as. And
Ooh.
So I would do like gender bend versions of the male designs as women. So I got to kind of craft what they would look like.
That's cool.
As a girl instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flipping it around.
Mm-hmm.
How often exactly. would you say that you like come up with a new cosplay?
I would say, I don't know, maybe once every few months now.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been focused less on cosplay recently and more on stuff like this. Different type of content.
Right.
I'm branching out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing different things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Trying to do a little bit more voice acting too.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is exciting.
That's really awesome. I think, I don't know, I feel like voice acting is so connected to, you know, the nerds' faces. Like
exactly.
cosplay, games, whatever. So I feel like it's a very natural fit.
Mm-hmm.
Or transition.
Exactly.
Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. I'd love to get into voice acting one day, but like that's definitely further down the line.
I heard singing is really helpful when you're training for voice acting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I wonder why. Just like strengthening the voice or something?
I think so.
Huh.
You have a lot more control over like the tones
and
breath control and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Emotion.
With like just making something sound consistent,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Yeah, because I can imagine like sometimes when I'm recording a line, they're like, oh, you kind of like drop off too much at the end. Like continue that. That force. And I feel like in the few instances where I've been like recording some kind of dialogue, they're like, oh, you drop off too much at the end of that line. Like
mm-hmm.
try to maintain that whatever volume or something.
Yeah. Follow all the way through.
Yeah. That makes sense. I never thought about that.
Yeah. So I think it could be an easy extra thing to pick up.
Yeah, totally.
You could practice while you play World of Warcraft.
Maybe. I didn't even think about that. Maybe that's how I justify playing a ton of World of Warcraft.
Right. That's what I was thinking,
too. Yeah.
How do I justify playing video games?
Right.
This is my research.
12-hour video game session. How do I make it work and feel very productive at
right.
the end?
Exactly.
Be like, I'm going to live stream this, and I'm going to practice singing and voice acting as I'm playing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Boom. Anything to write it off.
Yes.
On our taxes.
Yeah, right. Write off my $15 subscription, but also whatever like in-game currency I'm buying.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. $14.99 to Blizzard every month.
Yeah. It adds up.
Yeah, it does.
$14.99, that's like two coffees.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Maybe one, depending on where you get it from.
Depending on where you get it from. Depending on, like, if you get almond milk instead of regular milk. Depending if, I don't know, the size of your drink. Lots of things. It can definitely get up there.
Exactly.
Get up there.
Exactly. So was this your first year going to Ren Faire, or were you going to Ren Faire before?
This was my second year going to Ren Faire. I technically went to Ren Faire once in Texas growing up,
mm-hmm.
but I hardly remember it. The only thing I remember is we were camping in a tent,
mm-hmm.
and I was so cold.
So
freaking cold and rough. But I have some cute pictures from of my fawn costume, actually, from that Ren Faire. But yeah, I went to Ren Faire last year, and I think I had the most fun this year, though, because I went twice, and I just think I had a better idea of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I think there were a lot more friends going. Honestly, sometimes like too many friends where it was like, oh, I want to hang out with y'all. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I want to hang out with y'all too. How do I like,
yeah.
Oh my God, split the time. And then you lose a group and it's like, okay, I'm never finding y'all
again. I was going to say, when the group gets too big, you only get to move like a couple of steps and right. then someone has to go to the bathroom and then someone has to get a drink and
yes.
then someone's
no,
hungry.
Exactly. Or they just want to look at the booth yeah. close by.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had that exact experience, I guess, the second day that I went to Ren Faire, the same day you were there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was with Nick's group and everything like that. But then, like, I had a couple friends arrive and I had to go meet them at the entrance because I had, like, bought their tickets physically.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Nick, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'll catch up with you guys. I'm just going to meet them at the entrance. I'll find you guys.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
Famous last words.
Yeah, no, like, literally. Nick was like, oh, let me just, like, get a picture and, like, say goodbye just in case. And I was like, what are you talking
just
about?
Just in case. No
I'm
going to
find you.
Uh-huh.
But he was so right because, like, as soon as I walked in with my couple other friends, they were like, oh, this booth. Oh, this booth. This booth. And I was like, we are not making it to the other side.
No.
No chance.
Especially not this Ren Faire because it's like one long windy path.
Right. It's not like you can go in a circle.
Yeah,
you have to walk all the way to the end and then you have to walk all the way back.
Yeah.
And yeah, literally even when I was going to get them at the entrance, like they had texted me like, we're here. And I had started walking and they were like, hey, any update? We're still waiting. And I was like, sorry, it's a really long walk.
It just happens to be at the very other side of the long windy path.
I was
to go on an adventure to come find
like,
you.
Yes. Like, sorry, finishing a quest real quick.
Literally.
Quest is to just walk this path.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really fun. Have you gone to Ren Faire much?
I have, yeah. I've gone to a few outside of LA, and I like the LA one because friends are there.
Yeah.
But I hate the setup.
Oh,
like
yeah.
the layout of
yeah.
it just being one long path
right.
really stresses me out because I feel like I'm in someone's way at all times.
Right. No, totally.
And I can't get out of everyone's yeah. way because everyone is doing different things.
Yeah.
And there's only so much room.
There's no place that's out of the way.
There's no place that's out
there
of
really
the way.
There really isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I would prefer the ones that are bigger and more open
yeah.
in the middle, where you yeah. can kind of decide where you want to go when you get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I kind of just want to go play like carnival games and pet some goats.
Right. Maybe they can expand it in future years because I feel like it's gotten a lot more from what I've heard from other people, you know, because I've only gone to the Irwindale Ren Faire like these past 2 years, but I've heard mm-hmm. that it's gotten a lot more busy
yeah
recently
mm-hmm.
Just a lot more popular. The people yearn for whimsy and medieval times,
yeah,
I guess. But yeah, maybe if they expand it
and a turkey leg.
Yeah.
So were you able to find a bunch of knights at the Ren Faire in honor of your song?
You know, not really. Like, I would see people in armor sometimes, but I'm definitely not the type of person to go up to people usually. Like, maybe I went up to maybe a couple people where I was like, I really like your costume. Can I get, like, a video with you?
Mm-hmm.
But I was stopped when I was wearing my chainmail armor thing the first Ren Faire day. Because somebody was passing out these bingo cards
mm-hmm.
for people to do at the fair. And one of the squares was finding a knight with exposed abdomen.
Amazing.
And so, like, my chainmail was, like, yeah, it was, like, a bottom piece, top piece, like, you know, yeah, the stomach totally out. And
yeah.
so they were like, oh, my God, finally. I didn't think I'd find this. Can I take a photo with you? And
uh-huh.
I was like, oh, yeah, sure. The first person that asked me, it was a guy. And I was like, bingo card? Part of me was like, likely story. Do you just want a photo with me?
You could, like, just ask my guy.
Yeah. That part of me was thinking that. But then he pulled out the bingo card and I was like, no way.
you do need a photo with a knight with an exposed abdomen. Cool.
Like, I need a photo with a knight with brown hair and approximately your height.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Brown
it just
eyes
felt so specific that I was
named
like,
Christina.
I was like, really? But then that happened like 3 times that day where people were like, oh my God, my bingo card.
You were everybody's bingo.
Yeah, it felt good to be needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did. If you could describe your music in a few sentences, how would you describe it to somebody who hasn't heard it?
I could describe my music. I would describe it as,
I'm so bad at these like 3-word description things.
I know, yeah.
Where they're like, describe yourself in 3 words. But I really should be good at describing my music because I feel like this is a common thing to come up. In interviews, and I just fail at it every single time.
It's hard when you are, like, in it because there's so many nuances and so many different pieces of it.
Yeah, yeah. I think – I guess I also struggle with it because I feel as if I don't have a super coherent sound or vibe currently. Some people think I do, but I don't really know because I think I have some songs – you know, like Shy Guy, Suffocate, Masochist, that are a lot more like, I guess, like confident, maybe even like a little bit like abrasive or, you know, other people's words, not mine, Dommy Mommy, I guess. But then I also have like a lot of songs that are very, I think, like soft girl, introspective, yearning. Type songs. And I don't know how to bridge those two sides, I guess, but sometimes I kind of see it as like I often like to think of Charlie XCX because I feel like she's such a versatile artist, and you know, I think as a main pop girl, hyper pop artist, I think she's such an inspiration to me, and I love how she has, you know, super confident abrasive songs like Von Dutch, you know, with I guess lyrics like it's okay or just admit that you're jealous of me. I'm like, that's so crazy. I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, whoa. But then also really introspective songs like I think I Might Say Something Stupid, I think that's the name of the song, I don't know, but yeah, I guess electronic inspired, maybe. That's the overarching thing, electronic and pop inspired, but vibe wise can go different ways.
Vibe wise the different layers of being a girl, maybe.
Yes, where, you know, you can feel very confident and strong and crazy sometimes, and other times you can be sad and yearning or soft or something. I don't know,
the different shades of real life.
Yes,
I don't think you have to be one thing.
Yeah,
I think you could be multiple things.
Totally. Yeah, and I think another layer of it is that I think like some songs are about my real life, whereas others are more of a like embodying a persona or a character where I'm just like, oh, this would be fun to write about. This is not who I am at all, but I just think it's fun.
Yeah.
And I like that. Like the song Masochist, for instance, you know, that song is largely about like stepping on someone and being like, oh, kiss my boot. And I'm like, I'm not into that at all. But I just thought it was so fun.
But it's fun to play that character.
Yeah. Where I'm like, what if I was like a giant, like 10-foot tall lady and I could just step on people.
With a big black hat.
Yes.
In a Resident Evil manner.
Yes, exactly.
In a long white dress, perhaps.
Exactly. Yes, just like that.
Yeah, I agree. Those are my favorite characters to cosplay as well. And I also am not really like that in real life.
But it's kind of fun to embody that for a while because I think like I don't know, it can just give you confidence in other ways,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah, I think that's what it is.
It's fun to explore.
Yeah.
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 I totally get it.
I should cosplay. I'm just starting to get into cosplay again, but maybe I should cosplay some powerful characters like yeah. Lady. I don't know how to say her name.
Lady D is.
Lady D. Okay, I'm going to say Lady D. Okay, cool. Pronunciation is not a strong suit of mine.
Lady D's. Everyone knows who you're talking about.
Lady D.
Yeah.
Love.
What are some other Dami mommies?
Yeah.
Bayonetta, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a good one.
No, totally. I don't know at all. I'm thinking.
Have you
of
seen Castlevania?
No.
I was going to say Carmilla, maybe.
I'm thinking of the pirate lady from One Piece. That's uh-huh. like, I know there's so many pirate ladies. That's not descriptive.
The pirate lady, all of them.
You know the one pirate lady from One Piece? You know
yeah.
Her? Yeah. But was she, I haven't watched that much of One Piece. It was up to episode 120 maybe. But she was
you
like.
You got me beat.
No way, really? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to make my way through it. But I think like she was. Who is she? I'm trying to remember. She was like commanding someone and being mean to them.
I was going to say either. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boa Hancock with the snakes.
In my head, she has pink hair.
Oh.
I don't know if she does.
Perona? But that.
I don't know. I'm a fake One Piece fan. I don't know.
I only know characters that my friends have cosplayed, so
yeah. In addition to pronunciation, I'm also really bad at remembering character names.
Yeah.
Even if I've watched the entirety of a show, I can easily forget like a very important character's name,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like, oh, they're that one guy with the brown hair,
mm-hmm.
that guy
that did that thing.
Yeah, that did that thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm the same way. I'm terrible with names and dates.
Mm,
but I'm good with faces and I'm good with like plot points.
You know? Yeah.
But that's it. So it's I get
important.
It.
Faces, plot points. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's just hard when like you're trying to talk about a show or a media with someone and you're just like, that one thing that the person, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just like all of a sudden I'm like.
I just watched this show. Yeah. Especially when you're at an event or something and people are like, what games are you playing? What shows are you watching? And you're like, I just watched this. And they're like, oh, what was it about? And you're like,
like, it's really good. Trust me.
I remember liking it. But that's all I've got for you.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I think that's totally fair. Sometimes like a piece of media, it just leaves you with a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to remember too much about it. Just remember how it made you feel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, everybody listening or watching right now, comment what Dami mommy we should add to the cause playlist.
Who?
It's Hina. She's a Marine.
Hina? I have no clue. I don't even know why I was asking for her name. I don't know who she is. I don't know.
Could be anyone.
It could be that one pirate.
It's a
lady.
Pirate.
It's a pirate. Duh. In One Piece. It's the drop pirate your girl. Favorite pirate in One Piece. Maybe I'll find her.
So before you were doing social media for yourself and music for yourself, you were doing Polygon social media. You have a degree in ethical digital media, right?
Yeah.
What is the difference between ethical digital media and non-ethical digital media?
God, if I know. I think so I went to the Gallatin School of Individualized Study where you just make up your own major. It is the school of fill in the blank.
Okay.
And because largely when I went to college, I did not know what I wanted to do.
Right.
Because I really liked acting growing up. And, you know, of course, my parents are like, you can't go to school for that. It's mm-hmm. crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I went to the school of fill in the blank. So I was like, I'll figure it out along the way, I think. And I think I started, okay, hear me out. Hear me out. This is, it might sound
bad at first, but I started getting really into learning about AI in college.
Okay.
But I wasn't a tech bro. I wasn't. And the area that I got really interested in was about the ethics of AI. Because I'm very much not a STEM person, but I thought it was just really interesting, the things people were talking about with AI. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's like the future of so many things. And when I came across like threads talking about like the ethics of it and, you know, I guess like related things like the ethics of algorithms and stuff like that, I thought it was really interesting. And I think I read this one potential job people were theorizing that one day maybe there could be like ethics compliance officers for certain things. I don't know. I think that's something that obviously not a real job in many places. It could be.
It
right?
could be. It could seems be. Like maybe that people, is on the horizon.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I was just getting really into thinking about that. And so I took like philosophy and various classes in like that field, and then also like some tech classes. But then at some point I was like, I kind of realized, I was like, yeah, like ethics jobs and AI, it aren't really a thing. It's either you kind of like do the business of it or you're coding or something. So then I kind of refocused on photo and video and was just like, I think I'm just gonna like work in social media or something like that. And, you know, just started learning Premiere and stuff. And I don't know, that didn't answer what are ethics in digital media.
But it took me on a journey, and that's what matters.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess one of the things that there was a book I think called like Algorithms of Oppression or something like that. And it was just talking about how, you know, algorithms are sometimes seen as like unbiased, you know, it is just like spitting out this like almost like mathematical thing, you know, but it's like kind of like how do you rank certain like search rankings, or how do you, that's not a good example. It's like, been a while since I know what I've read this
I know
book,
what you're
like,
saying. Yeah. I'm following.
But just that, like, if algorithms are made by humans and influenced by humans, and humans are fallible and can be, you know, prejudiced in many ways, that then the algorithms can become prejudiced as well. I think that's a better way of saying it. But right. I don't know. I don't know shit about algorithms, really. Really, I just take photo and video now, and
yeah,
that's it.
And make music.
And make music.
Did you learn the way that social media operates when you were learning that type of stuff? Like, did you take anything away from it that you use now, still to this day?
Not totally, because I mean, a little bit. It was mostly like taking like separate classes, because there actually like weren't like really classes on like specifically like this is a class on like ethics and technology or ethics and social media. It was kind of just like bridging the gap, because like the social media classes, it would very much be just like, okay, this is like a photo class, this is a video class, we're not really talking about ethics in it very much. And then a separate ethics class, they're just talking about like, oh, this is what this person says is, you know, moral, this is what this person says. And then kind of like in my thesis, I had to like, I guess,
mesh it all together.
But honestly, I think I didn't learn that much in college. I think that it was really just, I learned a lot more by like doing things in college, less so like taking classes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you work for Polygon?
I worked from... Gosh, when was it? I mean, I was laid off May 2025, and I think I was hired May 2022.
I didn't realize that it was so recent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it feels like so long ago now. But yeah, so I worked there for about 3 years doing their social media, making short form videos mostly.
And it was a really fun time. I really enjoyed it. And I loved all my coworkers so much. And I'm definitely, I think, happier to be doing music now. Because I think it's a little more fulfilling creatively for me. Or to just, like, to be building something that I kind of, like, own.
Yeah.
But I am really sad to see the way that Polygon, well, it didn't end because it's still a thing right now, but like it was sold and like 90% of people got laid off.
Oh, wow.
And it just really sad way to see it end, or my time there end with everybody.
Yeah. Do you enjoy not working for anybody else and just having yourself as a boss?
A little bit, yes. I mean, I think I like waking up later.
Yeah.
Is a big hell one.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Late risers.
Yes. Hell yeah, late risers.
Yeah.
Because I would wake up at 8 a.m. at Polygon, and that's a normal time to wake up.
It is.
But I also think 11 a.m. is a normal time to wake up.
I agree with you.
You know, depending 100%. On when you're going to bed. Like if you're sleeping, you know, 2 a.m. to 11 a.m., 9 hours of sleep, great, perfect. Honestly, my ideal bedtime schedule.
That is my ideal bedtime schedule, too. I say yes. that all the time.
Yes.
You're the only other person that I've heard say that.
Yes, and I think that that is a perfectly normal bedtime schedule, but it's just not supported by the 9-to-5.
I agree.
And that's okay. But yeah, I like being able to wake up usually at a later time, just because I think I've always been inclined towards that, even as a kid.
So have I.
I was like falling asleep in my early morning classes just because I was so tired. And yeah, I guess I like having like a degree of motivation from other people or like scheduling from other people to do things. But yeah, I do like being my own boss, but I also really love my manager, who's like, hey, do you want to do this? You should really do this.
And yeah. I'm
like, okay, I'll do that.
That is really nice.
Yeah.
That is really nice. Whenever you are creating content, do you prefer to do short form video or Twitch stream or live stream or anything in particular?
Usually I like making short form content. I also do like live streaming, but I think I don't know that live streaming right now is really, I don't know, moving the needle in my career. So although I do enjoy it, I'm doing it a lot less. But I enjoy a lot of forms of content, but I think short form is definitely the easiest because you can film it so quickly, put it up there. But I think I get a lot of satisfaction out of longer form content too. Less in the sense of like, I don't know, some kind of like video essay or vlog, but probably, you know, making music videos. Because music videos, you know, you don't make money off of them as a small artist in particular. Just because it's like, I don't know, you can get the YouTube AdSense from it, but generally, you're not getting like crazy views on a music video, at least not at my size. But I love just being able to make visuals or tell a story and do it in a way that's longer than a minute.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Have you made music videos for other songs?
Yeah, I've made, I think, what is it now? I mean, I've made like some more higher level music videos that I've put more effort into. Like, I think I made a music video for Spooked and Chronically Online. Those were like the ones I put the most effort into for whatever reason. It just worked out timing wise with my friend who was in town and stuff. And then I have some other miscellaneous ones that were like, you know, some, I think a couple that were just shot in my bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, you know, trying to do the most with what you have.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and it was really fun. For one of them, I just hung up like a ton of posters on my wall and like enough to just like cover the entirety of the wall to kind of like replicate the vibe of my childhood bedroom, I guess. And yeah, so it's really fun and fulfilling, and I'm excited for the Girls in a Car
music video. Yeah, me too. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
When you are shooting a music video, do you have a concept in your head and like create a shot list, or how do you go about putting that together? Like, what are your steps?
I definitely don't do something like so specific as a shot list generally. I think it's a lot for me, a lot of it is kind of like flying by the seat of my pants. But I love using Pinterest as a reference point. Mm-hmm. So like
for a mood board.
Yes, I love mm-hmm. a mood board. And then like maybe having like less so shot ideas and being like setup ideas. Mm-hmm. So like for the Chronically Online music video, I was like, oh, I want a setup where, you know, it's a white space and there's a bunch of like tech around me and we do like a top down shot. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, and another setup where there's a TV wall behind me. Mm-hmm. And we do that. And then it's really up to the director I work with, Ben, to like actually be like, okay, now what is the actual shots of this setup? Mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess like vibe curation and setups rather than like, oh, this is the shot right here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the videographers bring it to life.
Yeah, I would say so. Do you usually have like very specific shots in mind for your content and stuff?
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends on what I'm doing.
Right.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Usually no.
Yeah.
But I always like to feel prepared whenever I do put together a shot list. I'm like, wow, this
You're
is
like,
awesome.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is great.
I'm like really professional right now.
Yeah.
So you play Magic.
Yes.
And I know that you're a gamer in general. What is your commander?
Ooh, my favorite commander right now is maybe Arabella Abandoned Doll. I think mm-hmm. I like her the most because she represents me the most in saying like she's my commander mm-hmm. because I think she's cute but also like a little scary because she's an abandoned doll. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't win a lot of games with her, but she does a lot of damage early on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really fun.
Does that scare people into targeting you?
Yes. And if I were smarter, I would be silently setting up my board to do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I just want to do
Having
a bunch
fun.
Of damage at the start.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so whatever. It's like, you can stop me or maybe you won't. Maybe I'll get lucky and you won't be able to stop me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, to wrap up the YouTube portion of our episode, I'm going to play a game where I'm going to say a popular Magic the Gathering deck type and you tell me what that says about that person.
Ooh, okay.
Who plays that deck type.
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
The first one is Bug, which is blue, green, black.
Fun.
Whimsical.
I like that. I like that person.
Okay.
I am that person.
Green and black.
Green and black. Do I have time to think about this? Or should it be like rapid fire?
No, you can think about it. That's what editing's for.
Okay, huge. Green and black. Okay. I would say trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
Potentially goth.
Potentially goth.
Potentially.
What about mono red?
Maybe I just like Magic the Gathering, but I'm like, most of these, I am like, yeah, you're a chiller. I'd play against you. I think it's everything mm-hmm. except for blue, usually, that I'm like, that I'm like, nah, you suck.
Well.
but mono red, I'm like, yeah, you're also pretty trustworthy. Trustworthy but annoying?
Okay.
Yeah.
Like little brother energy?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it's just like a lot of, yeah. Yeah, right. Arabella's not mono red, but, you know, it's pretty aggro. It's just like a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit too much too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, calm down a little bit.
What about blue and red?
Bothersome. I don't know.
Bothersome is pretty good.
They care a little bit too much about winning.
Ah.
Maybe. But also I feel mean saying that because I do know blue-red players. I'm thinking of one blue-red player in particular.
It's like astrology.
Yeah, and I'm just like, ugh. I'm just like, why is that anyone's favorite color pairing?
What about black, blue, and red?
Black, blue, and red. Black, blue, and red.
I was going to say, okay, unbiasedly. Fine.
Fine?
Fine.
Like, fine?
Like, fine. Like, fine. Like it's okay. Like, I don't think, I don't know. I don't think you're doing anything evil, I think.
Unfortunately, right? I am doing things that are evil.
Like, evil. What cards are you playing? Are you combos?
Do you know Nekuzar?
Who's that?
He's like a zombie lord, and you take damage when you draw cards. So my deck is just making everybody draw their whole deck and taking a lot of damage.
It's fun.
It's pretty evil.
But I think, see, the thing is about Magic, I feel like everybody is evil in their own way. Mm. It's just that I think the big difference for me is sometimes people will be evil, but they will also say, you can be just as evil. I'm not gonna fuck with you being evil, but we will both be evil.
As long as we're the same levels of evil.
Yeah, and the whole hope is like, I'm gonna out-evil you. But then other people are evil and they will just stop you from being evil, you know, because they're super control-y and stacks-y, and then, you know, and then you just can't even be evil with them. And right. I think that's the real greater evil in Magic.
Right.
You know.
Is when somebody doesn't allow you to also be evil with them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's about being evil with your friends.
Yeah.
Friendship.
Yes. Yeah. But I got to say, I do love, I do love mono green players, I guess gruel players, just because it's like, you know, sometimes when people have all their stuff on board and you can see exactly what's going to come at you next turn, I think there's something so calming about that, where it's like, sure.
Got nothing to hide.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you have an 80-80 Hydra with Trample on the board, but I'm just going to hope that it doesn't swing at me.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not any anxiety about, are you going to counter my spell? Because mono blue players give me trust issues.
Right.
I've played, and one of my good friends is a mono blue player. And yeah, I just started putting a lot of cards into decks that were like to, you know, avoid counter spells, like Cavern of Souls or
it gave you
Grand
anxiety.
Abolisher. Yeah, I was like,
you changed your whole deck.
Yes, I was changing my whole deck to just to counter spells.
Right.
And that's the real evil.
It is.
Of Magic.
So blue players, mono blue.
Yeah.
They're the real evil.
Yeah, mono blue. You're safe. Fine.
Fine.
Yeah.
Well, Tina, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate your time and you talking about your lore with us. If everybody is looking for you online, where can they find you and what do you have coming up?
Yes. You can find me on any streaming service, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, and YouTube, xtinagg. I'm xtina.gg on Instagram, TikTok, and yeah, I have a lot of songs coming out, a mixtape coming out probably end of the summer, and yeah, a lot of fun videos.
A lot of Dommy Mommy cosplays coming up.
Potentially. Potentially. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But thank you for having me. You're such a great, I don't know, interviewer, conversationalist, like so good at it.
Wow. I would like to request a compilation of every time someone compliments me.
That sounds great.
Ryan's like, I'll never do that.
Compliment, compliment, compilation.
Okay, well, to transition to Patreon, I have a very important question for you.
Oh, lovely.
So I've had these for a really long time and I've never used them.
Okay.
But I brought them because I wanted to know that whether or not I have these armor pasties.
Oh my gosh.
And if I were to wear these for you, would that make me a good knight?